The shadows beside me awoke as from a long sleep. They fled silently in all directions.
Ellie's father tells the villagers to prepare for deportation, which means that they are being forced to leave their home. But even before we hear this news, we can guess that things must be getting serious. For one thing, it's almost midnight and no one has gone to sleep. That's pretty strange for a town where people have tried so hard to keep acting as though everything's okay. I think the villagers are finally beginning to admit that their lives are not really going to be normal anytime soon, if ever. The word deportation brings back frightening memories of Moshe's story. Ellie's father has heard that the deportees will be sent to work in Hungarian brick factories because Sziget is too close to the front, which is an area where lots of fighting is taking place. But do you really think these people will be sent to work in factories, or are they going somewhere far worse? Let's read on. We're near the top of page 12, where it says, "For a moment..."
For a moment, we were alone. Then suddenly, Batya Reich, a relative who was living with us, came into the room. "There's someone knocking on the blocked-up window, the one that faces outside." It was not until after the war that I learned who it was that had knocked. It was an inspector in the Hungarian police, a friend of my father. Before we went into the ghetto, he had said to us, "Don't worry. If you're in any danger, I'll warn you." If he could have spoken to us that evening, we could perhaps have fled. But by the time we had managed to open the window, it was too late. There was no one outside. The ghetto awoke. One by one, lights came on in the windows. I went into the house of one of my father's friends. I woke up the head of the household, an old man with a gray beard and the eyes of a dreamer. He was stooped from long nights of study. "Get up, sir, get up. You've got to get ready for the journey. You're going to be expelled from here tomorrow with your whole family and all the rest of the Jews. Where to? Don't ask me, sir. Don't ask me any questions. Only God could answer you. For heaven's sake, get up." He had not understood a word of what I was saying. He probably thought I had gone out of my mind.
"What tale is this? Get ready for the journey? What journey? Why? What's going on? Have you gone mad?"
Still half asleep, he stared at me with terror-stricken eyes, as though he expected me to burst out laughing and say in the end, "Go back to bed, go to sleep, pleasant dreams. Nothing's happened at all, it was just a joke." My throat was dry. The words choked in it, paralyzing my lips. I could not say any more.